Have you ever taken a walk through the woods, maybe alongside a stream or a river, even just a stroll out on the heritage trail? What did you notice? Even if you were walking with a friend or in a group, not just by yourself, chances are good you still noticed something around you. The beautiful sky, the blinding sun, the birds chirping or the chipmunks darting back and forth. Perhaps a cool or a warm breeze coming across. How did it make you feel? More relaxed, maybe? More connected or more contemplative? Maybe a bit colder if it was a cool breeze? Chances are, though, you felt something in what you saw or experienced. The other day, I was out riding my bike on the trail, and an indigo bunting flew right across in front of me. Impossible to miss the extraordinary beauty of the bright blue, the electric indigo flashing right before me and then right up into a tree. A marvelous sight that caused me to pause in awe and then contemplate this great creation as I kept on riding. There's something about spending time out in the natural world, if we're paying attention to it. It connects us. It has the power to relax us, mind, body, and soul. It nourishes us. It feeds us with its beauty and awe. The more time we spent out in it, the better we often feel. This is true, as various studies have shown, it improves our health. The walking in it physically, but also, as studies have shown, walking through a park or a green space improves our mental health, changes the way our brain works. The source says that after a stroll through a green space, study volunteers were happier, more attentive, and less apt to dwell on negative aspects of their lives. Conservationist Rachel Carson acknowledged these positive effects, saying, "Those who contemplate the beauty of the earth find reserves of strength that will endure as long as life lasts." There's something about the natural world. This natural world that our bodies, our whole beings, just crave. As if we're so deeply connected to creation, we can't live without it, without this connection. Really, this shouldn't be that surprising to us, should it? From the dust of the earth, the Adama, we were formed. Our very being comes from the earth. We are so deeply connected, deeply rooted in the earth. The same breath that breathed into us first formed the world around us, the skies and the seas, the land and the plants, the various creeping creatures, all of creation. As the psalmist puts it, "By the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, and all their host by the breath of his mouth. The Lord gathered the waters of the sea as in a bottle, put the deeps in storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he spoke, and it came to be. He commanded, and it stood firm. The word, the breath of the Lord created the heavens and the earth, all that is seen and unseen. But it's not just that the Lord created the earth, as the psalmist also tells us. The whole earth is full of the steadfast love of the Lord. Our God didn't just form creation, the earth and the heavens, as this thing and then walk away. But God loves it, all of it, steadfastly. In Hebrew, this word is hesed. A more literal translation is loving kindness. We see how much God loved the world when the only Son was sent, this one who was there since the dawn of creation, spoke it into being, the Word made flesh, now living and breathing among us. God meets us among the things of the world, comes to dwell with us in the world, as the prologue of the book of John emphasizes. The Word through whom all things were made became flesh and dwelt among us. Literally here, dwelt or lived means pitched his tent among us. Jesus became like the dust of the earth, like one of us, pitching his tent among us. Became not just one of us, though, but embodied a creature. As one scholar points out, God embodied in Jesus joins with the dust of the earth, reconciling the broken relationships with God and with creation, in which we humans have involved ourselves. Jesus realized harmony of creation and spirit in the actions associated with his life and work. With it, as Christians, we are called to embrace a more holistic relationship with creation, with the earth, the planet in which we live, in which we pitch our tents. Certainly for our physical and mental health, as living in greater harmony with creation has some incredible health benefits. As was previously mentioned, with walking out in nature has a great impact on mental health, but living in harmony with creation produces cleaner air, cleaner water, less contamination and destruction all around that helps our bodies and minds stay healthier. But also, and perhaps more importantly, it greatly improves our spiritual health. Living in harmony with creation brings us closer to living in harmony with Christ, the Word made flesh, God among us, this one who became a part of creation to heal and restore, to save not just us, but all that God has made, the whole world. This creation that Jesus claims would cry out even if we, his followers, his disciples, were to keep quiet. Even the stones themselves would cry out praises to our great God, to the one who came in the name of the Lord. So maybe if we just paid more attention to creation, to these stones that are crying out too, living in deeper harmony, we'd see the glory of God revealed. We'd see God is still among us today. As Paul states in Romans, ever since the creation of the world, God's eternal power and divine nature, invisible though they are, have been understood and seen through the things God has made. So we are to pay attention. Pay attention to creation around us. The raindrops on the trees are coming down for the crops of the field. The nice refreshing rain, not the rain we've had this past August, but the refreshing rain that brings life back. As the leaves get hit and spring back up as if waving thank you, signs of gratitude as they perhaps understand the Creator and rely on the Creator better than we do. Or how when the sun comes out, it warms up the soil and the flowers seem to shine in complete happiness. The birds sing deeper, more beautiful songs. Or the spring peepers sing out in all their excitement the first warm days of spring. And perhaps we feel more connected not just to the natural earth, to the world when we pay attention to nature, to creation, but we feel more connected to our Creator as well. Because we see glimpses of God in ways we've never paid attention to before. We see the gratitude of creation, the praises, and at times the groanings, some of which we have caused. We see the mystery and the wonder. We see how God cares for the least of these. We see where we came from. And we see we're ultimately not the ones in control. That we, however much want to believe we are or can be, that we are not the Creator. What the rocks and the rivers already know, reminding us to rely more on God as we take the time to reconnect with them, the dust of the earth among us. So take a walk out in the natural world this week, away from the man-made buildings downtown or uptown. Gaze into the forests and the fields before you. Listen to the whispers of the trees or the new songs of the birds, even the honking of the geese. Look up at the moonlit sky. Enjoy the twinkling stars. Dance with the tall grass out in the fields and hum along with the katydids. Listen to their praises to the great creator and join in. Join them in song and dance, in laughter, and even in their tears, as they not only sing, but they groan as well to be a new creation, as we all do, awaiting for the return of the marvelous, incredible light, who not only called the world into being, but came to live among us, became a part of creation itself, and will one day come again to make all things new. And in the meantime, calls us to live as he did, as part of creation, as part of the Spirit of God, but also a part of the dust of the earth. So let us follow after Christ in both spirit and dust, the Word made flesh, in caring for and loving all of creation, and growing closer to our great and glorious God every single day. Amen.